100% efficiency because we have to have so many of these cut off. I'm not sure it needs to be here.
Are these standby burners? Is that what they are?
No, in the past, fireboxes frequently have a lot of burners in them. Replacement of them wasn't necessarily set up so that you would avoid hotspots, which is where your NOx tends to form. So they would take burners out of service to avoid the hotspots. Of course, you don't want to take it out because that would hold where it had to be attached. They would leave the burner in place. My understanding is people would put in applications because they might still be taxed since it's physically still there, although not used. So it's the fact that it was out of service and it's a burner, it's not being used anymore because, again, the configuration wasn't proper.
It's like a minimal value anyway.
I'm certain that these are still, that still occurs.
You're using an equipment, a piece of equipment in a less efficient way, right? Produce less stuff in order to meet your environmental standards. Am I getting that right?
It's actually taking the equipment out of service from the standard.
Okay, well, this said staging of burner.
Well, that's out of service, I mean.
It's off your books?
No.
Is that what you're talking about?
The furnace is still being used.
But some of the burners underneath.
Some of the burners are not being used.
They derate it basically, beat the efficiency.
But you're just taking those burners off, not the whole thing.
Yeah.
So you're reducing the capacity of whatever you're doing, you should be able to get an reduction evaluation. You don't necessarily need an exemption for that, but.
So it's super adequate?
Yeah.
But the one thing though is that, I mean, I don't know what you're saying is 100%. If you're saying the burner taken off at 100%, or if you're saying the collection of burners is 100%, that doesn't make sense to me. The collection of burners is 100%.
This would only, as it is now, only applies to ones that are out of service.
You've got 20 burners in a furnace.
My only question about this is, this language says staging of burner firing. This doesn't say shutting burner off. That's a different concept. Staging of burner firing means you're turning it on and off.
So again, we need to look at the language on this.
I agree.
Any comments on that?
I think that language, this language.
Let's go on.
This minimal is items, it seems to me it might be pretty rare.
I would think so.
It's been a while.
Okay, all right, we can continue.
So maybe part of the thinking could be eliminate this one completely?
Yeah.
Is that part of it?
All right, 87?
All right, it's Lynn Bond gas fire compressor engine where the, that's less than 100%. And that 20%, we cannot find how that number, to calculate that number, I'm cheating on by it. And the technology have changed since then. That's why we are looking into it.
As a general question, I think I counted nine items that are less than 100%, something like that, on the Part A list. Is that the same answer for most of them? We don't really have a good calculation for them?
Yes, we lose one less than 100%.
So if we've got any good information to help you on that, get it to you.
All right, 89.
Okay, over fired air system, we are looking at it, just like the one we just discussed, we are looking at it. Whether it's still being used or whether it still have any value, all this is just housekeeping thing we're looking at.
I mean, I don't have a problem with this. I mean, I know you do it on utility power plant boilers and it's not worth it to them to do it except for pollution control, so it certainly is, should be 100%. Okay, whatever's next.
All right, 890, the key, low emission conversion key for internal proportion recuperating compressor engine. I think when this came in earlier and now, we do not see the application again and we are looking into it. This key out there is something we need to make any changes. That's what we are looking into.
I mean, you can still retrofit all the existing engines down there with the new current technology, right? So you could potentially have an application up come across where they're going to upgrade.
You have this more in one place? Isn't this like the, adding the kit to a compressor engine and it's almost the same thing?
Yeah, something like that to reduce the emissions and meet the emission requirements.
Seems redundant to me, but.
I
Maybe that's your answer for the 20%.
Do we know where it's redundant?
There's somewhere where you, in here, and I think it's gas compressor engines, where you fit, retrofit it to lean burn, and it's 100% for the retrofit.
E87.
Yeah. And just, I don't know that you have to have compressor engines there, just have engines. And just, and make it general and get rid of 90. Well, I see, one's lean burn and one's low emissions, but I guess you could call up both of them low emissions.
So get rid of 87 feet 90? What's your thinking?
I was going to change. I don't see that's for just.
It's just for the kit.
Oh, yeah,
right. Yeah, one's an engine, one's a kit. Okay, I guess they're not.
That's what I'm saying. If they're 190, they're almost the same.
All right.
So 890 looks okay.
Yeah. 93?
Yeah. 93. We are not sure. It's a high pressure fuel injection. We are looking at it. We are not sure whether there's 100% pollution control.
We're not sure about the 40%
limit. Same issue.
Same issue.
So, well,
people who calculate those have retired. We didn't keep a record of it. All right.
The activated carbon, and what we were doing there is to redefine it.
There's actually two activated carbon type units here. There's carbon absorbers, A115, listing A110. Given some consideration as to whether those two can be combined. Just, again, it's a redundancy issue as to both needed.
So external floating roofs, are those pieces of equipment that folks have been applying for?
Hold on, isn't the 115 more general? It doesn't specify engines, and the other one does?
Yeah. But again, possibly these two could be put together. I'm not sure we need 110 if 8115 is there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I was thinking, you know, just get rid of 110 and keep 115 since you could use it. It would cover both of them.
That's why 110 is marked and 115 is not.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Cyrus.
Okay. Good job. Mr. Reed?
Is this something you're getting a lot of applications for? And is an external floating roof? Is it always for pollution control purposes?
Or isn't it vapor recovery?
Yeah, that prevents explosions too, so.
Yeah, that'd be a problem.
what has prompted this addition? Now, we're talking about external floating roof tanks, right?
Yes, all
okay.
We're not talking the whole tank,
just the roof. Just
floating roof.
And again, we're just evaluating whether it should be added. We're not saying what we evaluation as to if it would be appropriate or not.
And it still has to be required by rule or regulation. So.
And that's part of the issue. There is a section in 115 that actually defines an external floating roof as an internal floating roof. If it's used, and there's tank sizes, and what's in the tank, and there's a table at this point, what qualifies and what doesn't, and our description would tie back to that. It has to be installed in order to qualify that.
maybe wrong, but I can anticipate the difficulty of getting separate costs from a floating roof. I thought it was part of the tank altogether, but there's apparently people that...
Applications for internal floating roofs all the time.
Okay.
For separate costs. And we have seen a handful or so of these internal ones.
Okay.
Like you all said earlier, that maybe we use to save time, like you all said.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What are you?
A138, is that okay?
Yes, yes.
Okay, A138, why we put that there, we're adding that to qualify that this unit only eligible for mercury, if mercury is removed from flue gas. That's the only thing we're adding there.
Adding description.
Say it one more time, I'm sorry, you were to add...
We're considering a clarification of the description to specify that it's actually pollution control, that the mercury is removed.
All right.
And again, we are looking at the adding another item. Selective catalytic and non-catalytic reduction. That's for sulfur dioxide or sulfur oxides. That's what we're adding there.
That item is currently under nitrogen oxide, but we had some concerns expressed that people don't understand that it would also apply to sulfur. So consider possibly adding that in both places.
Okay. Now, I think it'd be nice to just combine, put nitrogen here too, and just have one item.
That's possible.
Okay.
And 184, the only thing we are looking at is that for extract or sold as a product.
Okay, you're looking at what, expanding that or getting rid of that?
As to the 100% is appropriate for in cases where things are being recovered for sale.
And
so you're thinking about moving to tier three? Is that what you're
eventually?
Thinking?
Move on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why we have one A186 and 187? We are looking at combining them. That's why it's marked. Two of them are marked.
Okay.
And 188, we are looking at if it's appropriate to leave it there or leave it there out. We're looking at the data, we are still looking at the data.
So possibly deleting 188,
is that what you... Combining 189. And then 189, we are looking at, if you say powder recovery, we are looking at the partial, it's not 100%. And then if you all agree with dry cleaning, you all spoke about that, they're all under 100%, and we do not have any data to verify all those percentages.
And again, that was the dry cleaning equipment, one that we haven't seen application for. Maybe ever.
Is that all of these on the rest of the page, or just 200?
That would be 200 through 204.
Okay.
For all less than 100%. The last two are at 100%, but their secondary containment is elsewhere on the list. I'm not sure, again, maybe a redundancy issue on that one.
Okay.
And on the direct coupled salt delivery systems, there's some discussion as to whether or not there may be product or production aspect of that as well. We're not certain of that at this point.
All right, well, we move on to schema with water. We need just to say hydrocarbon recovery schema. All right, we just want to redefine it.
Which number, I'm
sorry?
W4.
What do you want to do
to recovery?
The current description is simply hydrocarbon. I'm not sure that's sufficient. Schema obviously is not a hydrocarbon, so perhaps a little bit more
Oh, hydrocarbon separation from water or something? Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, I was catching up on something. We describe 205, 206 one more time, real quick. A205, 206.
205 and 206? 205 is secondary containment, that's elsewhere in the rules, so we're not certain that that's needed here separately. And 206, we're evaluating whether there is a production aspect associated with that as well, as well as the environmental.
All right, thank you.
Are you okay with the blue call? All right. So we are looking at M1, M2, we are looking at them for safety. Oh, yeah, oh, sorry, I skipped one there. We are adding one there, landfill fencing for control of wind blown track or access control. It's a request to add that, and it has required a governmental regulation.
Seems to me that you're going to have fencing regardless of the regulation. If not, you're trespassing on neighboring landowners, you're going to get sued. I can't imagine that's...
Is there a particular type of fence?
It's just part of parcel having.
The wind blown is, I believe that actually in both cases, there is some specification rule on what's required.
Oh, okay, there is a specific rule. Oh, okay.
You're saying if you didn't have a rule, you'd have anything?
Not always is the access control required, or I'm not sure about the wind blown, what the rule, but know about that. But in many cases, they are required by rule, so it does over evaluate.
And it's pollution, not OSHA rule?
This is Army, yes, chapter 330.
And the M1, M2, we're looking at it from a point that is related to safety issue. Both of them are related to safety, rather than environmental.
M1, hey, safety equipment, and M2 has personal protection. Those are typically for worker protection, as those that are not.
So there are regulations that are safety related to both of those?
But not environmental regulations.
So spill response equipment is not...
That's what we're evaluating, is to ensure it's required under our rules, if that is appropriate language.
You know, a lot of times, if you see a spill on the news, they're using these floating booms and a lot of things to make the pollution impact less.
Those we're clear on, but what we're talking about here is the worker protection.
The worker protection, okay.
That's what we're evaluating, is if this is appropriate.
Thank you.
M5, well, we are looking at changing to solvent recovery. And any question on that? And M8, we are just adding what, that's paving there, not to include the driveway or parking areas. Because we have seen a lot of people have all their facilities, pavement, they call it stormwater, paving and all that. Then...
Wait, doesn't it already have that on here? Does not include paving or parking areas or driveways for convenience purposes?
Yeah, convenience purposes, yes, but also we're evaluating whether or not these cements have used for stormwater control or not.
Oh, okay.
As to if it's the paving itself, which is great for something along those lines.
M12, M13, all we are doing is clarifying the language in there.
Is 13 the stuff at landfills, the little spouts that come out of there? So 13 is...
Currently under this one, that would not apply, but that's something we're evaluating, as to if that should be, if we can make some adjustments for that.
Aren't those to keep it from blowing up, or is that pollution?
You have to control your methane from a landfill, as if you have caused problems to the buildings also.
I thought it said that they probably catch on fire. You know, they would those are...
And M17, we're looking at it from the point of partial, it may not be 100%. That's why we marked that one. It may have some production aspects of it. And that, we are not removing anything in there, we just rearrange it and put it in our code, just to clean up. It was giving it.
Now, what was this?
Yeah, this bill is paid, that 11K, it's still be in the room.
Okay.
We just put it in the regulation, but it's not going to be at least at Part B like we have it now.
Okay. Considering whether there should be separate parts of the rule for the tier 100% versus the partials.
Okay.
Obviously, the most part would be partial.
Could you go back to M8 and explain that change to me again? An environment paving located at industrial facilities.
We get a lot of applications for environmental paving. In many cases, we're not certain that the paving is used for an environmental purpose. The paving itself, there's aspects of it that may be such as grading of the land. And some types of paving may not work for environmental purposes, such as gravel paving things that aren't in control of the stormwater or dust, which are the two environmental rules that is typically put apply for. So we're determining whether we need to add something to the description here to explain a little bit more on those issues.
It used to be a lot more broad than that, but now they're tidying up, narrowing it down every time. You should just say environmental paving. All right, that concludes. TTQ staff's description, is that it does? All right, do we want to move on to B? Any other discussion on these items? We'll take this up later then. I think this is a good time for Rob to send an email to a lot of us. Let Rob describe that if you would.
Okay. I guess most of you, at least on this committee, have probably seen the email that I sent out relating to item B16 on the equipment categories list, talking about carbon dioxide sequestration. And my comment was, it refers to that if the CPA rule is passed, and I wanted to bring up for discussion considering expanding that to include the greenhouse gases that are regulated as part of that rule, as opposed to just carbon dioxide, and also expanding the sequestration piece to include other potential abatement control devices that could be used for the other greenhouse gases on that rule.
I had one slight suggestion to that, which I had no problem in general, but since that rule, we don't know what it will contain. So maybe just a reference that says everything that's all the pollutants that are listed in that rule, instead of trying to list everything that we think is going to contain.
Yeah, follow.
Can we add language to Part A where it covers greenhouse gas emissions or something like that? It kind of falls into Part 18 under criteria.
Well, I'm just saying everything the EPA rule specifies is what I was suggesting.
I just thought that something.
Well, yeah, that could also, we could also discuss that. The possibility of maybe adding a greenhouse gas or CO2 equivalence piece to the Part A list.
The problem is you're not going to know the percentage.
And that's why I would say I would prefer just to go ahead and refer to whatever the legislation actually says when it comes out, instead of trying to, put bits and pieces in it. So we go ahead and recognize whatever the EPA puts out.
So
this is the list for expedited consideration, right?
That's correct.
What has been the impact on the staff of this list? So do y'all have any, you may not have any comments on that, which I understand. But obviously you've got a universe of applications coming in, and then after 2007 you've got a subset of that universe that has to be processed in an expedited manner, right? Shortened time frame.
You're talking about Part B?
Yeah. What's been that impact?
Well, I think the impact has primarily been, and I went to staff after I incorrectly answered the question, but I think the major impact has been with some of the heat recovery steam generators. Primarily, we haven't seen a lot of applications for other things other than and the turbines associated with them, other than the combined cycle plants that we have applications for.
Anytime you talk about expanding that list, I think that the primary impact is on you and your time. So I want to be sensitive to that. Whenever we talk about a proposal to expand the list, it shortens the time frame that you have to deal with applications.
Well, and maybe this would be a good time to bring up part of the Part B list here, and the committee's discussion on that's going to also depend on how you feel about the idea of the cap being applied to the Tier 4 list and the efficiency or the benefit, if any, of appending the item B16 if essentially it would undergo the same process. Because I think what we've teed up for you in the proposal is that all Part B equipment is going to undergo cost analysis procedure review. And that would be the same if the EPA were to regulate other greenhouse gases once it adopts that final rule, if we thought it was, if it was a partial, for instance, if you were using it, you know, on an already producing oil field and you were, and again, this deals with carbon sequestration, but if there was a production aspect to it, it would also be required to undergo a Tier 3 without us including it on this list. Or if there was no production aspect to it, you would have the regulatory flexibility to file it as a Tier 2 and request 100%. So again, it's I think part of whether or not this specific item or any items on Part B should be amended is going to also depend on what the committee's recommendation is going to be as far as applying the cap to Tier 4 equipment. And it's just it's sort of a cost-benefit analysis. What would be the utility of adding that additional description if the end result would be also applying the Tier 3? You've got two ways to get there, I guess is what I'm saying.
Are you talking applying Tier 3 to all 18 categories, or are you talking individual categories, or is it selective? I mean, if you just left it open-ended, you could still apply a Tier 3 to that category. If it wasn't a Tier 4, something that came up that was more directed to solving the issue.
And I think, and I don't have it in front of me, but I think one of the action items we provided you with last time, and possibly again here today, relates to the table.
Analysis procedure? No.
No, it would be
this sheet.
Yes.
Yeah. Page 2 and 3, that bottom.
Oh, okay.
Bottom.
That's my previous
one. And Tim, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but let me clarify. It's my understanding that you're thinking of the cap should apply to 3 and 4 because of HB 3544, correct?
Yes.
So those of you that haven't
seen it, that's what was explained to me, is, or if you want to look at the revised 1131 G1,
are we, I'm trying to see our process here. Do we need to address Rob's bringing up this issue in some way?
We kind of veered into the cap thing.
Yeah.
There. Let's good point. Thanks for reeling us back in.
One thing I'd say about Rob's proposal is that, Rob, you're getting at if whatever treatment the bee list is going to get, procedural or otherwise, would it be appropriate to go ahead and say carbon equivalents, what we were working on in terms of wordsmithing this B16? I'm not going to prejudge what that language is, but just to kind of all see whether the committee would come to agreement that that would be an appropriate clarification of that item, because B16 was clearly about carbon, about greenhouse gases, probably. So without any real strong dissent, you know, we're not pegging a percentage. We're not saying that B gets replaced with a number. We're just saying that it should, that when B16 gets favorable procedural treatment, however that ends up looking, that it also include GHGs that are in the final plan.
Right, you could say regulating carbon dioxide
or carbon
or other GHGs.
Subject to the rule.
I got to admit, I kind of see these issues linked. In other words,
if this committee came to a, I can envision some certain points that I'm not sure of the committee might get to, but if they did, it would change my position on my attitude towards his proposal.
But his proposal is just to add, make sure that other GHGs that would be covered by these rules that would affect his particular industry would be included, right?
Right. I mean, I was put it this way. It's not personal with his proposal or particularly his proposal. Depending on how, on what we say on B, I might not be in favor of any expansion of B, right? I mean, I'd just be wanting to be on record as against any expansion of B. And so I kind of doubt we get to that spot, but you know, I think we'll get to a spot with B where, number one, we can have some standard for what we think goes in B and what doesn't and all that, and you know, I'm good, but it's not totally unconnected.
I think it's, you know, just Robert, you should tell, you know, the committee what your preference is, but I would say that Don's given us, I guess, notice that it all depends on how significant being on B is. Before we start wordsmithing B, let's figure out how significant it is to be on the B list.
Right.
Is that a good paraphrase?
Yeah. That's
what that would make some good sense for us to go through the other debates before we wordsmith anything, because there might be other things on the list that people would be willing to wordsmith if the consequences weren't.
Well, I would suggest, although we don't have a motion on the floor, should we table this until after discussion on the other issues?
I would make that motion, though, if he wants to talk about it before we get start ramming something.
No, I mean, I think that's fine. It makes sense. You know, there's specific equipment, I think, that I probably think of that would fall under this that would actually almost warrant being put on the Category A list pending this rule being passed.
But my question is, though, would if they pass the rule, will specify some of these things as being pollutants. Would they not be covered anyway because they're a pollutant and there's a regulation?
It's just whether it gets the whatever preference B gets you or not.
What does B get you?
Well, that's speed. What we're saying. We haven't decided yet.
Yeah, my thought was if it was a description or a type of equipment that's not, it is A and A list piece of equipment that's its sole purpose and that's what it does, but it's not in that description, then why not put a greenhouse gas on the A list and just list out your three items or whatever they are. And it's a proposal, so it's going to get batted around anyway, and I don't know what they are or have any idea. So, you know, you can tell us what they are.
Yeah, and I can do that. I'd have to prepare something, but I could do that. Okay. So.
I kind of hate the idea of adding something until we know what it is anyway.
Right, no, I agree.
It's a slippery slope, because the legislature gave us this list, this specific list. You know, we may want to be limited about adding things to it.
I think, as Steph pointed out, what are you going to make of the list?
Although I would, someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my interpretation that Part B, it is a non-exclusive list. It can be changed.
It can be changed, yeah.
All right, well, we don't necessarily need a motion, since there's no motion on the floor. We pretty much decided to revisit that when we had more information on it.
That's fine.
But let's kind of make one decision today. Let's get to one decision.
We agreed to lunch.
Bet you we agreed to adjourn. All right. Okay, let's jump into it. I think we're down to the, what's classified for better or worse as a lower priority. Well, first of all, do we have any other general discussions on high priority, since, and from the staff also, of things that we need to do this month? That was the purpose of trying to put a lot of emphasis on this. Is the point that we're going to try to make a decision on the 26th as much as we can on these?
I mean, I think the committee needs to give us a decision or formal recommendations in writing by the end of the month on whatever they would like to see in the rule proposal itself. There are other, this is, I believe, Chance talked about this earlier, what we're concerned with these rule revisions, and what I believe he asked you to do last time, is to cast your nets wide as to areas that could maybe later be refined during the public comment period, but we don't want to run into notice issues. But if there are any issues that the committee feels strongly about and that would need to, that the areas of the rule that need to be revised in order to make wholesale major changes to the rules, those types of changes would need to be included in the rule proposal. So that's the more immediate deadline. I know you've designated higher and lower priorities, but...
And it can certainly include the lower.
Right. It's basically going to be whatever the committee would like to see us about, or have the executive director evaluate prior to proposal of the rule we would need to see by the end of the month.
Okay.
And if I just may, given that you have about a 9-month rule modification process, you're really talking about redoing the rules every 3 years, right? Same time as you do your ECL. So, what I'm saying is that items even on our low priority that would be a rule change, we need to make high priority by the end of the month or we're missing the boat.
Right.
I want to make sure you guys understand that just because you don't get comments in by March 31st, I mean, we have a rule process that allows for comments to be made.
We can make individual comments.
Absolutely. Or as a group, I guess.
I would hope we would try to see if there's anything we as a group can agree upon, because
we won't have seen the rules until that.
Right. Maybe. We're not going to see the rule proposal until then. If we have something that this committee, especially unanimously, agrees upon, I would hope that would be very helpful to the commission to see that. And I'd like us to give an opportunity for that in that process, not just each one of us filing our own individual comments.
It's fair to speculate the commissioners appreciate that.
If I was in their shoes, I would.
And let's see how far we can go with our time remaining, however much that time is. Byproduct, marketable product.
We had somebody had a high opinion about that.
Well, when Greg gets back in, he can start talking about the actual cap calculation. I just would say that the general policy principle at stake here, and this may be one of these things we just can't get agreement on. It'd be kind of one of those comments we all take from the commission, but we don't need to fix problems that we don't have, but it looks like we already have situations out there, including some that are, we've already discussed that are on Part A, where the commission feels constrained by the law to, you know, need to calculate whatever economic value might be derived out of a recycling initiative and count that against the application. And, you know, I look at the law, studied this law a lot, worked on a lot of different things related to this law, and the concept that you would discount somebody who's diverting a waste stream from waste disposal into some recycling market and count the sale against that exemption is problematic at the policy standpoint, but it also might be double counting in many circumstances, which I referred to earlier. And from a policy standpoint, it's the whole fundamental concept of, you know, it's not just about whatever pollution control process resulted in that thing. It's also about the fact that you're diverting it from waste. Just the diversion away from waste is, you know, is a pollution control initiative. I would hope we all agree with that. And I know